Welcome back to the Mittner Method. I'm your host, Andrew Mittner, and on today's episode, we're going to identify the top returning quarterbacks in the Big 12. As stated in previous episodes, for a returning quarterback to be considered, they will have to have recorded at minimum 125 dropbacks in 2023. Any quarterback falling short of that threshold is not going to be considered in these episodes or the articles that correlate. Now, the Big 12 is probably the most wide open conference of the Big Four conferences, and they only have three transferring quarterbacks and nine returning quarterbacks. Now, I'm not going to cover all of them simply because it's going to take too much time, and I genuinely want to cover the quarterbacks that are going to make a difference on teams that can compete for a conference championship or even a playoff berth. So, as always, I'm going to be using PFF passing grades and PFF metrics along with depth profiles, you know, where they're throwing the ball, whether it's short 1 to 9 yards, medium 10 to 19 yards, or, you know, deep passes, which is 20 plus yards. And if it's your first time tuning in, I also include metrics that I have created, which are called Mickey Mouse throw percentage, which is a combination of behind the line of scrimmage attempts and short attempts. The average for that is 55.8%. And then I have what's called big dog throw percentage, which is a combination of medium attempts and deep attempts. And the average for that is 37.6%. Now, with those in mind, it really is to kind of get a optical view of whether or not the coaching staff trusts these quarterbacks, or are they giving them these safe dink and dunk style layup throws, or do they trust them to open up the offense and push the ball downfield and try to achieve chunk plays? You know, so that's kind of where that comes into to play. So without further ado, we're going to start with the transfer quarterbacks. First on the list is going to be Daquan Finn, who is transferring to Baylor via Toledo. Finn's profile is pretty standard, but he brings a dual threat ability to Baylor that they so desperately need. Now, his kept clean PFF grade is 68th, and his kept clean QB rating is 32nd. Under pressure, it's pretty similar, you know, 41st in PFF grade and 56th in QB rating. So his depth profile is what it's kind of a little more, you know, where we're going to dive into. His deep attempts percentage is 72nd, and his deep PFF grade is 31st, and his deep QB rating is 28th. Now, remember, this is out of 162 qualifying quarterbacks. So, I mean, that's pretty high up. That's upper echelon when it comes to those efficiency measures. His medium attempts is 29th, and his medium PFF grade is 94th, and his medium QB rating is 103rd. Now, there is going to be some room for improvement in that depth, in that range, and we'll have to kind of go over that a little bit more. But that is something to keep an eye on. His short attempts percentage is 75th, and his short PFF grade is 101st, and his short QB rating is 23rd. Now, his Mickey Mouse attempts percentage is 121st, and his Big Dog's attempts percentage is 29th. So, you know, what that tells me simply is Toledo, they trusted him. You know, he was there for several years. He played well every single year, and he is the definition of a big play ability with his legs and arms. Now, one thing that is going to be great for Daquan Finn is Baylor is ranked first in offensive returning production, and there will be plenty of experience around him. Now, this isn't from like an elite group, but, you know, these are college level players who have produced on the collegiate level. Now, another thing to circle back to the depth concern is former Cal offensive coordinator Jake Spavadal will take over as the offensive coordinator here in Baylor. And he's going to look to develop him into a polished pocket passer. And I think, you know, they have the potential to do that. Now, I'm not saying Baylor is going to be on the short list for a Big 12 championship, but they do have the potential to surpass their team total. And that is simply because of the returning production that they're getting and the upgraded quarterback that they're getting. They could be on the rise in the next year or so. Second transferring quarterback is going to be KJ Jefferson, who is transferring from Arkansas to UCF. Now, again, this is kind of on brand for the Big 12. Jefferson is a legitimate dual threat quarterback also. And he is joining this conference, which arguably is going to be easier than when he played in the SEC. So let's dive into his profile a little bit. His kept clean PFF grade was 38th, and his kept clean QB rating was 80th. And unfortunately, his under pressure PFF grade was 139th, and his under pressure QB rating was 44th. Now, remember, the under pressure statistics are very volatile. They're not as stable year to year. And, you know, that's – I know you're thinking like, oh, well, he's a dual threat quarterback. He should be able to, you know, under pressure, he should thrive. Well, that's not really the case. You know, he thrives quick decision type offense. So if he's not a first read guy, then he's going to struggle. Like if the first read's not there. But let's dive into his depth profile. Deep attempts, he's 98th. Now, deep 98th in attempts. Deep PFF grade, he's going to be 39th, and his QB rating 103rd. So kind of like a split there, but he's not abysmal throwing the ball deep. He's just not elite. His medium attempts is 61st, and his medium PFF grade is 112th, and his medium QB rating is 92nd. So that is below average on both ends, and that is something that will have to be improved if UCF has any desire to compete for a Big 12 championship. So short attempts percentage is where he operates the best. Now, he was 146th in short attempts percentage. But on those attempts, he was 25th in PFF grade and 23rd in QB rating. So what that tells me is he's just not being used properly. And he was not used properly at Arkansas. And that's, you know, something that, you know, was evident last year. Now, he is going to thrive in Gus Malzahn's style of offense in an up-tempo, RPO, quick decision offense. And the other thing is going to be UCF plays the easiest strength of schedule in the Big 12 with a ranking of 95th overall. So if he can stay healthy for the entire season, like it's not some far-fetched idea that UCF cannot compete, because you're getting Jefferson who was good at Arkansas. Now, obviously, you know, the team – you know, does not reflect that in the last couple of years. You know, they weren't like, you know, competing for division championships and stuff like that. But this is going to be an easier conference for him to deal with the defenses in this conference. And I think they're being slept on in general. You know, now I'm going to dive deeper into the Big 12 later down the line. But on the base level, they're being slept on. It's just that simple. Now, we're going to go to returning quarterbacks now, and we have who, in my opinion, is the best quarterback in the Big 12, and I'm not even going to open it up for debate. It is just a fact, and that is Shedeur Sanders at Colorado. His profile is elite. Now, his kept clean PFF grade is 4th, and his kept clean QB rating 19th. His under pressure PFF grade 34th, and his under pressure QB rating 31st. Now, when we go to his depth profile, you know, on the base level at face value, it gave me some pause. But the more that I dug into it, it's pretty obvious. Okay, his deep attempts percentage is 115th, so below average. But His PFF grade on those attempts and his QB rating on those attempts is 7th and 15th, respectively. I mean, that's top level. So when we go to the medium attempts range, again, 137th in medium attempts. But his PFF grade is 15th, and his QB rating is 87th, so not as good. But then we get to short attempts percentage, he's 41st, and his short PFF grade is 10th, and his short QB rating, 7th. So when I look at the Mickey Mouse big dog attempts percentage, I have to remember that, you know, I don't feel as if Colorado didn't trust him to make those throws. Like, their offensive line was horrendous. And anybody who watched any of their games with, like, even a open mind knows that they were probably, like, a bottom 10 offensive line in the entire country. So this year they're going to get a revamped offensive line, which, you know, it is consistent of a lot of transfers. But they boast a formidable returning production profile. They're 4th in offensive returning production and 1st in defensive returning production. Now, those units were not elite level units. Their offensive S&P plus ranking was 48th, and their defensive ranking was 112th. Now, that's a lot. You know, that is a lot. But this team is going to drastically improve. And even when I look at the base level of a couple of things, they have a difficult strength of schedule also. It ranks 15th overall. And so there's no way to cut that. But the flip side to that is this year's schedule is going to be infinitely easier than the gauntlet they had to run last year against Washington, Oregon, USC, Utah. Like, it's going to be infinitely easier. And the ceiling for Colorado is going to go hand in hand with Sanders' success this year. And I feel like he is set up for a very successful year. And if he has the potential to raise Colorado to a Big 12 championship berth, you know, he is going to be on the short list of Heisman candidates, and rightfully so. Now, obviously, you know, they could fizzle and win 7 games and, you know, like, all this is for naught, but the potential is there. The talent is there. The potential is there. And it sets up well. So on to the next quarterback, Noah Fifita out of Arizona. He has a very interesting profile from the standpoint that he's elite in at the medium depth. I mean, elite. But he doesn't throw the ball that much in that depth, and that's what's concerning. So let's dive in. His kept clean PFF grade was 57th, and his kept clean QB rating was 13th. His pressure PFF grade and his pressure QB rating were actually better, 7th and 15th respectively. Now, when we dive into the deep attempts percentage, he's 117th in deep attempts, and he just was not good. He was 115th in PFF grade and 72nd in QB rating. Remember, out of 162 qualifying quarterbacks. But when we get into the medium attempts range, this is where it's pretty eye-opening. 133rd in medium attempts, which is, in my opinion, atrocious, because he is 6th and 4th in PFF grading and QB rating. He should be attempting more medium-style passes, schemed up, wide-open pocket, you know, like, that's what he should be attempting. He is elite in that range. And then short attempts, 71st, and short PFF grade, 41st, and short QB rating, 25th. Now, this is what was most concerning, and I don't know if we're going to chalk it up to the style of offense or the lack of confidence. But I'm not going to say lack of confidence, because Fifita came in after three or four games to replace Jaden Delora, who was a starter the year before at Arizona, and then he never gave the job up. So they obviously had confidence in him. It might have just been the offense. They didn't want to change it. They got him in there. They saw success with what they had, whatever. But the biggest thing is he led Arizona to the biggest season in the history of their program. Now, this year, you have coaching changes across the board at Arizona. – Jed Fish is gone. But it could be a positive. And the only reason I say that is they're bringing in former head coach Dino Babers as their new offensive coordinator. And if he runs any type of offense similar to what he did at Syracuse, we could see a huge uptick in the passing attempts in the medium depth of the field. And to put that in perspective, Garrett Schrader at Syracuse last year was 40th in overall in medium attempts percentage. So if they get him where he needs to be and those pushing it down the field type throws, like, Arizona could walk into a very good season in their first season in the Big 12. Now, I'm not going to say that they're, you know, going to be competing and possibly winning the Big 12, because that remains to be seen. Their offensive returning production profile is not fantastic. They're bringing back, you know, I believe it's 100th in returning production. You know, now it was from a really good unit, and their defense is actually going to get better. 13th in returning production on defense from a unit that was 41st in S&P Plus defense last year. But they have the potential to have some success in this conference. So last but not least is going to be Cameron Rising at Utah. Now, I know in the intro to the video I said we're not going to cover anybody who didn't have 125, you know, dropbacks. But it would be bad practice to not include Cameron Rising. And that's simply because he missed the entire season last year because of injury. And now he's back for, legitimately, I think it's his sixth season, but it feels like he's been there a decade. Now, the thing is, if you go back to the 2022 season, Cameron Rising's stat line was extremely impressive. 3,034 passing yards, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, not to mention 465 rushing yards. And the pinnacle of that season is they beat USC for a second time in the Pac-12 championship game. And that just dashed all of USC's hopes for playing in the playoff, as all remembers, you know. But the thing is, if he comes back to that form at Utah, they're going to be a tough out in the Big 12. Right now, they open up as the favorite to win the Big 12, and I'm not really sold on that simply because there are a lot of question marks. But if he fills in and does 80% of what he did in 2022, they're going to be a tough out for everybody. Because last year, Utah somehow won 8 games, and I don't know how they did because their quarterback play was just absolutely horrendous. And if they can get the Cameron Rising of 2022 or a version of that, they're going to be a tough out for anybody. Now, that's going to conclude all the quarterbacks for the Big 12. As always, there will be a correlating article attached to this podcast. It's on my website at themittnermethod.com. If you want to visually dive into it and, you know, read a little bit more. And that's going to be it for this episode. So thank you for tuning in, and I'll catch you on the next one. Take care.